forgave my sin. I cried out for mercy, and he answered with love. He signed my pardon with his precious blood. I cried out for mercy, and he answered with love. He signed my pardon with his precious blood.
So I'm casting all my cares on you.
Amen. I believe it. You know how I know he's coming after me? Because according to scriptures, he left his earnest with me.
Amen.
Amen. He left his earnest. The earnest, you know, the earnest money, when you go buy a house, you put money down, that proves to them you're coming back to finish the rest of the deal.
That's right.
And the scriptures let us know, and a prophet brought it out in clarity, that when God gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you part of his own life. And that life matches and dovetails with what went to be there in heaven for you.
Right.
And so he actually said that whenever God goes to rapture the church, all he's going to do, all he's really going to do is just call his own spirit from the earth. And you've got to go with it because you have that spirit in you.
Yeah.
Amen. So he's taken all of the guesswork out of it. We just thank him for that. The musicians can go ahead and be seated. Saints, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And, you know, as time goes on, we just become more and more of a knit together body, I guess we could say. And, I'm pleased to see God moving. He is moving. And he's always made a way for his people.
That's right.
And sometimes, you know, we may not think that he is, or we may wonder what he's doing or whatever, but God makes a way for his people. And so after we have endured for a while and been tested and tried, the fruits of what God wants to do will come to each one of us. That's what our whole life walk is about. But even us as individuals and daily walk, and us as a church, then God has his way of making those things work. And so I can testify to you that the Lord is moving and working. And I don't want to be Mr. Impatient. You know what I mean? You know, Brother Branham talked about Mr. Impatient or whatever. He always gets in a hurry, and of course he messes things up. You just wait on the Lord and see what the Lord wants to do.
Yes.
And so I'm just glad and encouraged in the Lord today that God is moving. Brother Daniel mentioned a while ago that we had a wonderful time of fellowship, and I can say that it's been a while since I've had a day that from the very start to the very end that God orchestrated was so full and complete in the whole day. And everything that was said and done, that you could see the Holy Spirit moving and ministering and doing things, even little simple things. I had we stopped by to see Brother Miller, and there was a CD laying on the table of a sister that's in the message that made some music, you know, for us to listen to or whatever. And I asked Sister Miller, I said, how can a person get a hold of one of those CDs? I'd like to have one of those. And so she opened up the case and said, well, here's the contact information. So I pulled my phone out, took a picture of the contact information, so I had nowhere to order a CD. We went on fellowshipping for about 20 minutes, and my phone buzzed. And when I did, a brother I met this weekend, yesterday, texted me, and he said, Brother Tony, he said, if you'll give me your address, I'm going to send you a CD And it was exactly the CD that I had just asked her about.
Amen.
So, it's like I said, it's been a while, you know, but God is in every day. We just need to see him in every day.
That's right.
And so you say, well, Brother Tony, that's wonderful for you, but I believe if God's moving in my life, he'll bless you too.
Amen.
And so I'll just say, Lord, just pour it on us.
Yes, amen.
Just do whatever you want to do. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open up. I'm sorry to keep you standing for so long, but just the joy of the Lord, just, you know, that's our strength.
That's right.
And so we want to open our Bibles, and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. God is so good to us. This world's just rocking and reeling and tossing and turning and in chaos. And the more chaotic it gets out there, the more sturdy the believer gets.
Right.
You may not feel that way, but I mean, that's what God's doing in us.
That's right.
Amen. So, all right. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I guess I need to turn there too if I'm going to read. Verse 3. Paul speaking. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, and we walk in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
we do. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now let's go to Ephesians 5, which is just a little further over. So Ephesians 5, we want to start reading, I think, about verse 9. Ephesians 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We want to pray just for a moment. In our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that as a little small group of believers here in this area, Lord, we know you've got a bride worldwide, but we're really familiar with this local group, Lord. And we realize that us as your people, that we are the most blessed of all the world. To us, Lord, we are, because we see your hand, see your presence moving and working in our lives. We know, God, that you have great things in store for us. Lord, not just eternity to come, but even victories in this life. We know that you're present, Lord, ever present to be the strength of your people and to conquer our enemies. And Lord, we just ask this morning that you would just come and do that, that you would take this word this morning, Lord. Let it be from thy banquet table of heaven. Let it come to your people and speak to their hearts just exactly the way you would have it to be. Lord, may it specifically speak to needs in their life and address issues, Lord, that they have. And God, in doing that, it'll bypass my intellect altogether. Lord, it'll just speak to them and let them know that you love them, Lord, and that you're very interested today in their life and the things that they are dealing with, Lord, and that you're providing for them victories to overcome their enemies, Lord. We ask, God, that you just be with us today in this service and then in fellowship this afternoon, and as always, commit it to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Today I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare, and I'm going to subtitle this, Change the Habitat. And I wrote down the definition, and I know you could look at different dictionaries. I don't know, I just looked at the one I have that's convenient for me. Of course, we know what habitat is, but just so that I could read it to you. But the definition of habitat is the type of environment in which an organism or group normally lives or occurs. And so I want us to remember that as we talk this morning. We are, as we just read, we are in a battle. And our battle, regardless of, I know it's Satan's job to make us think that it is flesh and blood. And we probably spend most of our time thinking that way, not realizing that we are. But according to the scriptures, the battles we fight, they are not against flesh and blood. But they are spiritual battles. If you can conquer the spirit of a man of hatred in a man's heart, you don't have to worry about whether he's going to commit murder on the outside. You see what I mean?
Right.
Now, we could take and we could incarcerate a man, or we could put him in jail or whatever we want to do to prevent him from doing evil on the outside. But the Bible is telling us that really, if you wanted to conquer the situation, if you would just tear down the spirit that was motivating the man, then the man would have to worry about it. And it's that way with anything that's there. And Satan knows that if that if he can just attack you spiritually, that if he can hold you there, well, then your flesh, you're going to manifest the things that's representing of what's going on in your spiritual man. And so spiritual warfare this morning, and the subtitle, Change the Habitat. So we're going to go in that direction. How many is familiar with this idea, concept, that I guess it's been through the ages, and we've heard it many times, that they'll show the picture of an angel on a shoulder talking to you to tell you to do good, and they got the devil on the other shoulder telling you to do evil. And I say, you know, I guess throughout the ages, man, they have pictured it that way, and because they know what they've experienced, because there's a lot of truth to that. I don't know that you could say that angels are sitting on their shoulder and devils on another shoulder, but I'm going to tell you what a prophet said about that, about our lives, and something I've mentioned several times, and I want to continue to mention this so that we get this straight, is it doesn't matter what man out in the world says, God's not going to judge the world by man and what he says.
That's right.
God is going to judge the world by what God says, and God is going to vindicate what he says, and then, because he's not just going to do it and not let you know about it and then condemn you by it. He's going to manifest his word and show that it's right and that it's true, and then based upon that, that's what he's going to judge the world by. Does everybody understand that? And so, the world could say, well, there's devils on one shoulder, angels on another, or we're influenced in some way or whatever. It doesn't matter what they say. But when a vindicated prophet comes along and then explains things, and he explains it, then I would say that God is, he vindicates things by bringing it past. He puts his little check mark on this and says, now that's going to be the standard that I hold the world to. And so Brother Bram tells us that, and I didn't look up to see what sermon this was in, but we've talked about it before. You know it's there if you've been listening to sermons. Brother Bram talked about how that we are influenced either from above or from beneath. And he tried to illustrate it. I don't remember if he actually drew it on the chalkboard. He just verbally made a picture of it as he was speaking. But I'm just going to try to verbally describe it this morning. But he said that we are influenced either from above or from beneath.
Right.
He said that that you would have this area, as I guess as he was picturing it out across there, and he would say, this is humanity, this is people, And he said, all in here is a bunch of chaos and folly and just, you know, the man's way of living. And he said, every once in a while you see a streak of light through there. He said, that's a believer. And he said, but see, here we are in this dimension where all this ways of man and everything's going on, and every once in a while you see a believer, a streak of light go through there. And how many knows that the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of light?
Right.
And when he would see the devils, and when there was devils that would leave, it'd be a streak of darkness. And so Brother Branham would say, you see a streak of light. Well, he said, that's a believer, because the people in this dimension, all peoples of the world, are being influenced. They're either being influenced from above that dimension or from beneath that dimension. And being beneath, coming from Satan, from the demonic realm, and from above, coming from heaven, from God, from the Word of God, from a dimension of light. And of course, as that dimension is pressing down or trying to influence here, and the wicked is trying to come up and manifest right out here on the streets, right out in our daily walk every day, those dimensions are pressing out, and they are actually being made manifest.
Right.
And a prophet said that when it was a believer living and he was doing something in the midst of all the darkness and chaos, it would be a streak of light.
Right.
Well, if all of it was light, you'd never see a streak of light. So we're saying that for the most part, it's darkness in this world, but a believer who's being influenced from the positive, from a dimension of light, from a dimension that's higher, that influence would come and it would manifest in this world as a streak of light. But at the same time, he was speaking that people would be influenced from beneath. And, you know, there's just some things that, you know, I think philosophy is really terrible, because they can talk, you know, they try to debate something that common sense will tell you. You know, common sense will tell you that it hurts when you hit your hand with a hammer. But they can debate with you about that. They can debate with you about anything that they want. And the point I'm getting is just nonsense. But, you know, when we're being influenced from above or beneath, well, let's take that above and beneath and say, well, it's like a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other. And they're both talking to you. They're both trying to get you to follow their leadership. And I want to say this. Why can't the devil, or why can't that angel in that scenario, those dimensions, why can't they just go out and do what they want to do? Why do they have to sit on your shoulder and talk to you? Why do they have to try and convince you to go do something? They can't do it themselves. You see what I'm saying? The scripture said a spirit don't have flesh or bone, right?
Right.
And spirits can't, you know, and Satan's not a creator. God could do it if he wanted. But you realize that the concept is that these dimensions that are trying to press themselves out on this earth to manifest, they can't do it themselves. They got to have somebody they can do it through.
That's right.
And so that's why that angel or that devil sitting there just whispering in your ear trying to get, because they both want you to express them on this earth.
That's right.
They both want you to flesh out what they are. And so when there's a spirit of lust is not satisfied just being a spirit in that dimension, just sitting there going, I'm a spirit of lust. A spirit of lust, his whole being is to get that manifestation in this dimension of that spirit of lust.
Right.
And it's that same with any other. And so now look at the contrast. What is it that God wants to do?
Think about it.
God's not at rest. The scriptures talk about it. Brother Branham talked about that light just moving around looking for a place to light, a place of rest. Where is the place of my rest? Is God's not satisfied just being over here and being righteous and holy and all that and not manifesting? If you're going to provide rest for him, and it's the same way, the devils that are cast out, they seek rest and find none. They're at rest when they have a place to dwell and manifest.
Right.
Well, the Spirit of God's the same way. God can actually, there's a way that he is unrestful when he's not able to live in your life and manifest through your life. But if you want him to rest, just surrender to him and let him begin to flesh out what he is, and then that righteousness that's in that dimension, that spirit of holiness, that spirit of love, that'll manifest and begin to show itself here. And if Brother Branham said it'd be like a streak of light that would manifest in this dark chaos. And so you'll find out there that we definitely are. Here's this one angel here, the devil on the other side. And I keep saying that because that's an easy way for you to understand. And this one's a-talking, and that one's a-talking. And what's right in the middle? Your mind.
That's right.
And so you find out that the guy that has control of that part right there is really going to have a whole lot to do with what you manifest in this world, in the flesh. Brother Miller and I were talking last night, and he mentioned to me, that Brother Graham said, the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. And I told him, I said, Brother Miller, you have to come up. You have to be made well. Simply because of this one thing. I don't have to look at him and say, well, boy, he's got a lot of faith or whatever. But just a real simple thing is this. That Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession. And that if you'll confess in agreement with the Word of God, he has to go on behalf as an intercessor upon that, he will make your body line up with the testimony or the profession that you have. And from everything that I've seen from Brother and Sister Miller, verbally, not just in a corner, but to everyone, verbally, they have had a testimony that this is finished, it's over with, he is healed. And so his confession, he said, my feet, he said, they're healed. They just have to come to recognize it. It just has to manifest. And so based upon that alone, he's got to improve and come out of that based upon that testimony. Whether he's got a lot of faith or whatever, it doesn't matter. And I say that because if anybody's ever read the form letter that Brother Branham would send out with his prayer cloths, and it was a form letter because you have to print thousands, you can't write them all. So they had a form letter, and in there, Brother Branham said, don't even be occupied with whether or not you have a lot of faith or not. He actually said that. And so he said, but, you know, and he gave us this instruction. He's a high priest of our profession, and if you'll just agree and confess with the Word, then God has to make that happen. And saints, I've seen that happen in my life, and so sometimes it may take weeks, months, might be years, but I've seen it. It'll work. And so, that was kind of a little rabbit trail there, but that was, they're on both sides and they're talking, and you're right in the middle, and I know how I got on it now. I told Brother Miller, I said, Brother, because he said, well, the right mental attitude. And I said, that's right. I said, in your soul is that seed gene of God, and it doesn't disbelieve. As I told him, I said, it is. You are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I mean, knows the Scripture says that. Amen. I said, that seed cannot be corrupted. That seed never has disbelieved God, because Brother Branham tells us this, that is God, and it can no more die than God can die, because it's the same Zoe life. And I said, so there's that life in you that's a believer, and your flesh is out here in its condition, the unbeliever, whatever. And I said, that blessing of that soul believing that word has to come out and manifest out here. And guess what it has to pass through to get there? His mind. The right mental attitude of every promise of God will bring it to pass.
Amen.
Pretty simple, just when you look at it like that. And I remember a couple weeks ago, I said, Buddy Lonnie had said something other, and then I lost track in my mind of what it was I was going to say. And I remembered later on what it was, and I think I might have mentioned it since then. But Brother Lonnie said, you know, you'll go along and you'll be needing healing, and you'll be confessing and doing everything you can to confess and believe and confess and believe. And he said, and all of a sudden one day, just some little something in your mind about your attitude about all this, even though you're doing everything you can and you're making your confession and telling everyone and everything, he said, some little something that's not just exactly lined up in your mind just right about it. Your attitude about that promise, he said, that little thing will just kind of move just a little bit, and your healing will manifest just like that.
Yeah.
And that's right. See, and so he can say, but but at some point something clicks. And there it is. The manifestation of the Word of God comes right there. Well, what I'm talking about is spiritual warfare. And so that's why I wanted to name that this morning, spiritual warfare. And so we are in the greatest battle ever fought. God chooses the heart and Satan chooses the mind and reasoning. And so we are in that greatest battle ever fought. The world is going to come to Armageddon. The world is going to come to the greatest battle this world has ever seen and ever will see. But if I understand correctly, you and I right now are in that battle and have been under this message of the hour. We are in that battle of that angel on one side and that devil on the other. And because the battle over here that's going to happen in over there in Megiddo or the Armageddon, that battle, and it's going to consist of the releasing of nuclear power. Well, what has God given us as an atomic bomb against our enemy? He doesn't want us using the word. He doesn't want us to release the power of that word because that's the very consistence of everything that exists. Everything exists from atoms, literally. But everything consists of the word of God that created it. So when we release the power of an atom, what are we doing? We release the power of the spoken word, the power of the word. It's the most awesome force that we have at our disposal, just like the atomic bomb is to man. Now, I'm not telling you something Brother Branham didn't already tell you.
Right.
We've got an atomic bomb, the word. And it'll all be unleashed someday to deal with the situation. But God has given us right here, and we're in this greatest battle, our Armageddon. And all the only answer to settle this war is for that atomic energy to let loose. It's for the Word of God to be released in our life. That's the only thing, that's the only answer that we can face right now as all these forces are sitting here working upon us right now, is for that energy of that spoken word to be released in our life.
Amen.
In other words, what the Word says and what we have, a copy of that Word in our soul, that's the real us. That power of that spoken word and that image of who we really is has got to manifest outward. And it's got to come right through the right mental attitude.
That's right. Amen.
And as soon as we have that right mental attitude is the briefcase. Right. It's got the authenticator codes in it. Because you can't, these guys up here that control that, they can't just send off their missiles without the authentic codes that gives them the authority to do that. And that's what I'm getting at. And so we can be on alert at different levels, like the military would be. We could be on different alert levels and that sort of thing, and yet we cannot release it until everything, and we have just the right authority to do so. And that right authority comes from having the right mental attitude to every promise, or to the promise that we're pertaining to. So, Brother Miller needs healing, right mental attitude. That'll do it. And so, we definitely are in this greatest battle ever fought. And we're fighting it now. And I wanted to, those that went to camp last week, I wanted to point this out. My wife had mentioned something to me about the trip back. And I wanted to point out to those of you that were in the meetings in camp last week, camp meetings are just full of the electrified presence of God. And you sit in that for a few days, and when you come out of that environment and you come back out into the world, you can recognize a very vast difference. You realize that you have walked into another environment. Because this environment you walk into, you're coming down off of that high dimension, or that where you are being influenced very heavily from that dimension of light. And your mind is just so cut up. Your spiritual man is caught up in the presence of God for 3 or 4 days. And it's just so good. And your being knows that it's good to be that way. And then you come out of that, and now you start receiving some influence from beneath.
Yeah.
And it's something that your spiritual being rejects. I don't like this. And you can see a definite difference. Well, the point I'm getting at is that is because you've moved out of one environment and you're going into another environment. And that's why it's different. If I leave from a warm house and go out into the cold, there's a drastic, I notice it. They say you can go very slowly and it's not near as bad. But if you make an abrupt change, it certainly is. So, you know, you could move very slowly from the presence of God, just slowly drifting, and next thing you know, you're off out here away from God, and you really didn't even know it happened.
Right.
Or if it happened right quickly, you definitely would know it. And so when these people, these saints, come back from camp last week, and they start coming back, and they begin to have to interact with the world and see, there's a definite difference in the environment because they have left one environment and are moving out and having to experience another one. I had done some work in my house last weekend on while my wife was at camp, and did some work in the bathroom. She had mentioned to me that there was a place where the water had been coming down, getting the wall wet, and it's been there for a while. And I knew that it needed to be repaired and just needing to find the right time to do it. But she mentioned to me a few weeks ago that mold was growing on the wall. I know that sounds rough, but, you know, above the bathtub, up high, where there's water's not going to get. But mold was starting to grow there. And I looked at it, and there were several patches. Well, you see, mold would never grow up there to begin with, not normally. And there wasn't enough environment up there of wetness for mold to grow normally. We've gone for years without any problem with it. Same bathtub, same people, same showers, no problem. But you see, what happened was the problem was down on the floor where water had leaked down the side of the bathtub and soaked in underneath the baseboard and gotten the wall wet. And there was where the source of mold was from. And you bear with me. But the point I'm getting at is now the environment down there was sufficient for mold growth. It was a different environment than everywhere in the house. And the reason why it was growing there was because the environment there was conducive. The environment there was the kind of environment where mold could grow. So it was a habitat.
Right.
It was a place in a way that could grow there. And even though the environment up high on the wall was not sufficient, but being in proximity to something that was sufficient, that began to affect. And you're reading spiritually. Evil spirits won't hang around the place that's not the right habitat for an evil spirit. The Holy Spirit will not hang around a place that's not the right habitat for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be completely, totally in the environment. All you have to even be is even just close to the environment, and the effects of it will begin to come upon you.
That's right.
Right? And so that's what I'm wanting you to focus on is we are in a spiritual warfare. And I think we can do ourselves great victory if we can analyze just the word habitat. And that in places in our lives where we know the habitat's not exactly right, that we can change that habitat. Because as soon as you change the habitat, the critters that live in that habitat have to leave.
That's right.
And so that's why I wanted to focus on it in that direction. And so perhaps that happened just so that I could make that connection there, and the Lord could kind of speak to me on that. But, you know, you hear us talk about, and I've mentioned it, and it's probably just a street phrase to say this. I don't think if you go to the dictionary that you'll actually get this definition that I'm fixing to say. But we say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. Now, I don't think that's what the dictionary says, but it's a pretty good definition. I think really what you could come back and say is that a person who is insane, you'll find that they do things over and over and over that's really chaotic, and they always get the same results or not getting a change. Maybe that's more correct. But just for the sake of expressing what's on my heart this morning, definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over again,
expecting a different result. When I think of that, I think of Brother Branham telling his story about being on the death walk. And I know that probably most or all of y'all have heard this, but him being up in the, I think it was the Adirondack Mountains, or he was up there to camp in a cabin or whatever, and I think he arrived a day early or something like that, and his wife and child was with him, and he wanted to go out hunting, and he left his wife there under a lean-to and went out hunting, and I think he shot a deer or something like that and hung it up. It's been a while since I've heard the story, but I'm just relating it to you as how I kind of remember it. But Brother Branham also got to chasing after a mountain lion. He was wanting to get a mountain lion or some critter like that, and so he hung this deer up, and he's taking off, and it's coming a blizzard. It's coming up, a real temperatures are dropping, and all this is coming at him, and he realizes, you know, I got to get back to the cabin. We're not able to get in the cabin, so we're going to have to spend the night out here under this lean-to. My wife and child's up there, and they don't know what to do to survive. So I need to be there with them, so I got to get back there in a little bit. But he goes to hunting, and he's Brother Branham, I could say it this way, he really liked to hunt, and he really would like to get that mountain lion or panther, cougar, whatever it was. I think it was a cougar or something. But so he's involved in doing something he likes. And he messed around, and he got into the dead man's walk, the death walk. And he said he's walking along, and he's like, boy, you know, and now he's thinking about, he's got to head back to the cabin where his family and all, as he said, all that was dear to me. I want to get back to what's dear to me.
Right.
And he said that, so he's trying his best. Blizzard and everything, and he's trying to, he thinks he knows where he's going. He walks along, and he comes up on that deer that he left behind, that he was going to come back later and get after the storm was over with, maybe come back the next day or something. And he walks up on that deer, and he says, "Wow, that's strange. I must have walked in a circle or something, you know." And he takes off with all the strength that he has in himself to guide himself to where he needed to go, and he come back to that deer again. And he said, "You know what? The Indians call this a death walk." Because he's doing everything he can do to get out of it,
right?
Only to find out that he's coming right back to the same, repeating the same path, repeating the same thing over and over again. And by the grace of God, that these things would happen, that a prophet could tell it to us. But he said, you know, when a person's like that, they start talking to themselves. They start, and this is what happens when a person gets on a death walk. They begin to tell themselves, "Hey, you know, you're all right. You're really okay." But there's another voice down inside that says, "No, you're on the death walk. You are repeating the same thing over and over and over again, and you're not going to get out of this." But they start trying to convince themselves, "Oh, I'm okay. Everything's fine. I'm just going to, you know, and I'll just try again." Well, here we are back again. Right back to that same position again. And so Brother Branham went through this, and he finally, because Brother Branham said, "You know, I'm a good hunter. I know my way around the woods. I can do this. I can handle this." And he found out, he got to the place that, you know what? I'm not good enough. I'm not a good hunter. I don't know my way around. And it's my mess that I've gotten me into, and that I'm fixing to lose all that's dear to me. Brother Ram said, I could spend the night out there. I know how to survive, but I knew they couldn't." Right? And so he said to the Lord, he said, "Forgive me. I'm such a stupid servant." You know? And said, "Forgive me." And he repented of being like that. And he said that there was a mountain called Hurricane Mountain, I believe, and there was a station, forestry station or something up there, but there was a phone line that ran from the tower on this mountain, went right down to that cabin. And he knew that if he could get to that tower, he could grab that lifeline, and he could follow it down right there to where his family was. But he had to get to that mountain. He had to get up on that mountain, to Hurricane Mountain, I think is what he called it. And so he repented. And he prayed earnestly. And then he said to himself again, he said, I'm going to position myself. Okay, this is the way I need to go. And he started to go that direction. And he said he felt a hand grab him on the shoulder. And he turned. And I felt that hand myself. I felt it sitting right there in that chair Sister Crystal was in one time years ago. My Aunt Mary was sitting behind me. But that hand grabbed Brother Branham, and he turned to see what it was. And, of course, there wasn't anybody physically there as far as seeing it. But when he turned like that, the fog just parted like this, right back. And there was that mountain with that tower on it. Brother Branham said, I was going exactly the wrong way. Exactly away from where I needed to go. And by the grace of God, the Lord turned him around and said, there's the way you need to go. And he was able to get to that, follow that phone line down, right to everything that was there, and his wife and child did not perish. I think there's a lot of parallels that we could draw in that in our own lives. In the battles that we fight right now. But a person, when they begin to be on that death walk, they begin to get beside themselves and say, you know, no, there's really nothing wrong. But it's like the boy, you know, walking through the graveyard whistling and saying, well, you know, that's why he's whistling, is because he's afraid. I remember that as a kid, pretending and acting like I'm not afraid of something when I really was. So we're all familiar with that. So we all have it in us to pretend, when really down inside we know that there's something wrong. And so Brother Branham, that story happened to him, I think, so that God would allow that to come to us, so we could see a lot of things in there and see our own life in there. But so the dead man walk is repeating the same thing over and over and over. And what you see from this is that a person that gets caught up in that, they really start moving into, and out there in that situation, they really start moving into an insanity. They go crazy. You ever find and see stories where people have been lost and died? They're just, sometimes they're just tore all to pieces because, you know, their skin and stuff maybe. Because of what their mental status turns into, because they realize they're lost and what they do. And some of them may just run off a cliff or something because they get so beside themselves. So, but what I want to show you there is that if in the natural a person that's on a death walk and it's away from what's dear to them and it's away from the things that they know is right, there's a certain element that our mental status begins to break away. This is what Satan wants to do to us. And make us break away from and begin to get beside ourselves and go through this mode where, well, you know, there's really nothing wrong. And then eventually that breaks away and they're in a realm where they're chaotic because they don't believe there's any help for them or whatever. And so it moves into, and Brother Ben said, they go insane. Go insanity. Well, insanity is in your mind. It's not in your flesh and it's not in your soul. Right? So again, I'm talking about this spiritual warfare that takes place between these dimensions, where it's above and beneath. It's right in here, or if it's between the angel on the shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder, whatever. It's right there that we're talking about this battle that takes place. And so I think that we could all say to ourselves, you know what? In my spiritual walk, that we could see that as we go from day to day, that if we find ourselves in a place where we're repeating the same thing over and over again, something that's not right, and we try to pull ourselves out of it, only to find out we repeat it.
Right.
And we do that over and over, then I think it's time for us to stop and say to ourselves, you know, I need some help. I can't do it myself. I'm a stupid servant. I have been ignorant and stupid for trying to depend upon my own self to do this when I should have been trusting God all along. And so that's what that story was all about. And so if we see in our life the same thing happening over and over again, we should analyze that. If we see a series of events that has happened in our life to end up in tragedy, and we get out of that, we repent of it, we come back, only to find out that we've traveled this circuit several times, at some point there's a beginning where that circuit starts. And when you start down that pathway, by experience, you know where it's headed. You know that it's going to be failure once again. And it's at that point right there that we need to stop and say, wait a minute. I've been on this before, and I know that this leads to the wrong thing, and I need help. Don't wait till you get off down there again, but start right now at the beginning of it. If you want to stop a bullet from doing damage, don't ever pull the trigger. And that's the problem we have. We're so easy at pulling triggers. And, of course, once that trigger's pulled, then we have to ride the wake of all that destruction until it gets to the final thing and we realize the full potential of devastation that's there. And we go through these cycles in our life. But we want to be a Christian who's got strength. And so when we see something beginning to start out wrong, and we know because of experience.
Right.
Right then is the time for us to stop right there and say, you know what? I'm a stupid servant. God help me because I can't do this. I can't do it myself. I've tried. By my experience, I know that it's not going to work. And so right then is the time to stop and do something different. Because if I'm watching you do something over and over and over and it's costing you and it's hurting you, you're touching your hand to a stove and it burns you and you have to go through all kinds of, you know, for months and months, and you turn around and do it over and you do it over and you do it over, it's going to be real easy for me to say, I think there's something mentally wrong with that person.
Right.
But then that's the truth of it. The truth of it is that it's in our spiritual walk, Satan wants to get us to a place like that. And so we all have this capability of getting on dead man's walk. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we have times where we're climbing in God, and then we have times where we plateau and we're not climbing in God. We're just kind of staying the same.
Right.
And that is a very dangerous place to be.
That's right.
And we all have it. A lot of us, sometimes we have some great big ones.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we have a whole lot of small ones, but they're there. It's like that with mountains. Mountains aren't all the same. They kind of have steeper places and places that aren't so steep. So as we're going up this mountain of God, becoming more like Him, we have those times. But to plateau is not something you want to do for very long. Because it's like the water. I say the water that's not running in the creek. If it's not running, you don't have to go seek amoebas and stuff like that to put in there to contaminate it. Just stop the water flow and they come automatic.
That's right.
Just provide an environment of moisture for mold, it comes.
Right.
You don't have to go buy some. Just provide the right environment around you and things are going to come, whether it's good or bad, based upon what you provide around you. Based upon the habitat or environment that you have around you or what you create for that. I could go home right now, even though that I am working to repair that issue. I could go home and I could create by squirting water out of it and letting it sit there. I could create an environment that I can guarantee you mold's going to come.
Right.
Now this happened because wasn't because we wanted it to. I wasn't paying attention to the fact that there was some water getting down there and it happened that way. But you understand what I'm saying. We can by ignorance, by not being attentive to something.
Right.
We can allow situations to come that a habitat is created for something, and you don't have to invite that something that lives in that habitat. They come on their own.
That's right. Right.
And that's what I'm talking about this morning. So, we want to stop doing the same things that we've done over and over when we see that it's the same thing that led us to destruction or led us to a big trial or something in the past. The scripture says, a soft answer turns away wrath. So if you say, well, I'm constantly getting into an argument with someone. Maybe it's my husband or my wife or my brother or my sister or my boss or whatever. Constantly, it just happened over and over. You're running a circle there. Right? And at some point, that circle will start with your boss or whoever it is. You'll enter into a conversation, and there's a moment where you realize that statement right there, whether it was from him or from me, has started that loop. Right there. And if you continue to follow that, you'll wind up right where it was to begin with. But at that point right there, we stop and say, right here is where a soft answer is going to turn away wrath. I'm going to do something different than what is so easy to do. I'm going to do something different, and by doing something different, you get a different result. That's the point I want to get out of that. And so, you know, there are certain places we don't go. Right?
Right.
How many of us go down to the bar room? I'm glad to see no hands raised. Why do we not go to the bar room? The reason why we don't go to the bar room is because of the type of people that go there, the things that happen there, and the influence that that's going to have on us, or the effect it's going to have at least on who people see us to be. We don't like the things that grow there. That habitat, that place is a habitat. And there's things that automatically go there and attract there. That's why I don't believe in gambling. Look at the trash that hangs around the gambling halls.
That's right.
So people say, you can't show me anywhere in the Bible where it says we can't gamble. And that's what I said. Well, at least open your eyes and look. And look at the filth and prostitution and everything else that's always around the gambling places. That ought to tell you right there. So we don't go to the bar rooms because there's an environment there. And as I mentioned, they come out of camp in a godly environment. They come out and they very quickly can say, you know what, I'm entering into a different territory. I don't like this. We don't go there because we don't like what's there. It's not speaking and it's not conducive of what we are. So we don't go there. It's not that we want to criticize people who go there or whatever, but we just know that that's not what we are.
Right.
So you know what? That habitat doesn't grow believers. Believers don't grow in that habitat.
Right.
So, we don't go there. But what I want to point out to you this morning is that a place, we say we don't go there. We don't go to those places. Well, a place is not just a place. It's an environment, as I said, it's an environment and it's a habitat. But I want to show you this morning that the wrong thought that you entertain is a place.
That's right.
The doing something the wrong way is a place. And that place, automatically, in the nature of what it is, has habitat for certain things to live and grow and prosper there.
That's right.
So we don't go to bar rooms because we know the effect of what that's going to cause on somebody. You don't take a person who has a problem with alcoholism and they have given their heart to the Lord and they're trying to grow in the strength of God, you don't take them and put them in a liquor store to be the merchant to run the store. Believers who have things, when they do get a conversion in their life, they need a time of strengthening before they can head off out here and begin to take the world and try to conquer the world. They need some strength themselves. They need to become seasoned themselves. And so it's because they're familiar with that particular, like in drinking or something like that. They have been familiar with that, and so it'd be something that Satan might try to work on them. And so we don't go to those places, but the wrong thought, a wrong mentality of something is the place, like a place, and you can go there. You could go to the ballroom and you could suffer the consequences of the life around and everything that goes on in that environment if you go there. Well, we could go to a wrong thought, a wrong action. And in their places, I want to illustrate them like a place that we could go to, but they're at that place as a habitat for certain things to grow, certain things to be. And so, we're all thirsty this morning, so let's all move to the desert southwest. That sound like a good idea? We're going to move. We're thirsty. We need water. We're going to move to a place that's known for not having water. Sounds kind of strange, huh, that we would want to do that. So we would move to a different place, and guess what? When we set foot in that place, the desert southwest, we automatically come subject to that environment. We can't walk in there and say, I'm here, I'm thirsty, and I'm going to have water to drink. That don't happen. When you submit yourself to that habitat and that environment, you come subject to the environment it is, because that's what it is. And you can't fight it. Right? You can't fight it. You can say, well, I'm going to go over here to the bar room and I'm going to do whatever. You can't fight the environment you go into. Because you don't belong there. So you go to Desert Southwest and you say, I'm here to get a drink. And someone say, well, you come to the wrong place. And the point I'm getting at is that if you know you're thirsty, why would you even think about moving to the Desert Southwest? Well, if we're fighting other things, or we've walked so many circles of mistakes, why would we submit ourselves to a mindset or an action that we know supports failure?
Right.
We don't want to do that.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying this because I know the Holy Spirit in our lives speaks to us and woos us with this kind of information, and sometimes people just walk right over it. And so it doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It means you're in a spiritual warfare. You're in a battle. We say, you know what? We're cold. I want to be warm. Let's all move to Siberia. It wouldn't make sense, would it? That's one place I wouldn't go unless God would just have to send me there. I seen a deal one time that those people, for so many months out of the year, they just shut down. And all they do is try to survive. They send a guy out with a truck to go out to some lake somewhere to suck water out of a lake into a truck and take it back to where they can drink it. And it's so cold there at that time that the tires on that truck are brittle. And if he ain't careful, and it looked like he was four-wheeling anyway, if he ain't careful how he drives that truck, if one of them tires explodes on it because their rubber gets hard when it's really, really cold, he's a dead man. There's nobody that can rescue him out there. And so the point I'm getting, it's a harsh place. Well, if we wanted to live in comfort, why would we submit ourselves to a harsh place? It doesn't make sense. And so, but if we wanted to have the blessings of God and to live in the blessings of God, then we have to submit ourselves to the environments where those blessings of God can grow. To the habitats where the things of God will be found. Because remember, the definition was a type of environment. A type of environment in which an organism or group normally lives or occurs. The right kind of environment, it's just going to occur. You're all the time having contention around your house. I can tell you, that's not the kind of environment the Holy Spirit's going to be pleased to be in.
Amen.
It will not happen.
No.
And for me, saints, I want to walk in the presence of God. I want His presence all around me all the time.
Amen.
And I know that there are things that I can do, things that I can say, there are things that I could look at, or there are places I could go that I know that would take that fellowship of God right out of my life just like that.
That's right.
I know that. And I don't want that. I don't want to reap that kind of harvest. I don't want that kind of mold growing in my spiritual bathroom.
Right.
So I just don't go those places. I just don't do that. You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of our life, a lot of portions of our life where we do. And I just said, you know, like intention in the home. The Holy Spirit, that's not the kind of environment the Holy Spirit can grow and strengthen in.
Amen.
So what do you do? When things arise and it looks like there's going to be a problem in conversation and an argument or whatever, do something different than you've always done before that caused the wrong thing. And you'll see that when we put forth that effort to take the wisdom of the Word, what He has said, and to take where this angel is saying, do what's right. The Word of God is speaking, do what's right. But you've got this flesh nature of the devil saying, do this other thing. That when we make the right choice, have the right mental attitude toward that, that everything changes. And you won't repeat those things over again. But you know what? The angel or the devil or those dimensions, they can't do it themselves. You have to submit to them. You have to say to the Lord, yes. Or you have to say to the devil, yes. Brother Daniel and I were talking about that yesterday. A little, especially young ladies, they're born in this world, a little girl, and at some point she automatically begins to go somewhere else in seclusion to change clothes. As a little baby, they change clothes right in front of me. They don't care.
Right.
But they automatically, at some point, they reach a place where they something in them says, you don't change clothes in the presence of other people, especially men or boys. Right? But you look out here on the street.
Right.
Every one of them was born with that modesty in there. And at some point, every one of them, I don't care what they say, but every one of them women out there, at some point, when they were confronted with that spirit to say, take them clothes off a little bit and walk out before the man, they had to say yes.
That's right.
To that spirit. Because it was already in there for the modesty of not doing it. Whenever I said, we were talking, I said, when you take a woman preacher and she's standing up there preaching the Word of God, I said, if she's read her Bible at all, it came to those scriptures that said that says that a woman can't do that. In order for her to stand behind that pulpit, she has to look at that and say no to that and say yes to whatever it is that's leading her to do it contrary to the Word. And that's the point I'm getting at. Is the key to unleashing these things is for us to recognize the nature of our battles, to look at that for what it is, and to stop saying and doing the things we've said and done and do it differently, and this time do it according to the Word. Because that's the authenticator cards to unleashing the power of God into our lives. That's what it is. And we've got to come to the place where we grasp that. I believe the Bride of Christ is right on the mode, right on the I can't think of the word I want to use, mode wasn't it, but right on that threshold of that happening. Because we have walked this circle for many years, and we realize, you know what? We've got a rapture message. We know rapture is in it because it has transformed us, but we haven't quite punched that code in right yet. And we know that. And there's been a time of frustration that has come, but I believe frustration can turn into desperation, and that's what Brother Branham had. He got desperate when he said, you know what? I've been walking this walk for hours, and I'm not getting anything different. And we want something different. We know it's laying there for us, and so we want to change. And so why would we continue to submit ourselves to the environment that doesn't create a change? We've got to commit ourselves to an environment. We've got to do things different than what we've done in the past if we want to be a different people. And so we all have levels of obedience, and it's time that we come up to another level of obedience. The scripture, we have become so desensitized.
Right.
Oh, we're believers. We have a level of holiness in our lives and in our homes. But at the same time, to me, we have come to a place where all the world and what the world's doing out there that's contrary to the message, there's a certain level of that that's no longer offensive to us when it should be. That we have become desensitized because Satan wants that to be that way. And so we've become desensitized to that in the fact that the scripture said that it's a shame to even talk about the things they do in private.
Right.
We're not even to talk about the things the world does
right.
in private or in secret. The word use the word secret. And so the point I'm getting at, why? Why did the scripture tell us? Don't even sit around and talk about what these Gentiles do, the way they live and how that they conduct their lives. Why would the scripture say that to us? Because just in sitting around, even as believers, and talking about that, there's a degrading and a desensitizing thing that's happening in us when we are to be a holy people. We are to be a people that are different and separated and separate from the things of the world, and to be a holy people, zealous of good works. We are not to be slouchy soldiers. We are to be soldiers that are marching, as we know the vision said, marching in line, get back in line. You know, we understand that they're the bride, according to the vision, is going to get out of line. We're getting sloppy in our march. And and why? It was because we was watching that filthy group.
That's right.
According to the vision.
That's right.
And so what I'm getting at here this morning is we're in a spiritual warfare. That's right. And we've allowed ourselves to set and even things that we could ponder on and discuss that we ought not even allow in our conversations or in our lives. I don't know what it is. I'm not speaking specifically of things. I don't know. But I know what the Lord is telling me. That all of us, that we've gotten too close to that environment in some ways, and a little bit of mold is growing on us, even though it shouldn't be growing on us, and it couldn't in itself, but we're too close to things. And so we allow these things that we shouldn't, and we become desensitized, and there's not as a clear and defined, definite line between the holiness and what we should have and what the world has. And I'm not talking about holier than thou. I'm talking about in a place where wherever we go, we know that we are packing the presence of God in the midst of darkness.
Amen.
That there's no question about it. There's no question about it that when I go somewhere, that's what I want you to have in your experience. That you know, regardless, that when you get up and you go somewhere, that God, you are taking that spirit and that presence of God that's around you, you are taking it to touch other lives.
Amen.
Because there's no questions. In the sight of God and in your experience, you know there's a definite mark, line of demarcation or whatever you want to call it, that you know, and you are not across that line, or you're not up there, mocking at the enemy or whatever, trying to provoke. That you know that you're walking in the zealousness of the Holy Spirit. And so I think that we've become too desensitized, myself, of some things. No, we're not walking in wickedness or whatever, but there's something there. There's little things there that we all need to check up on. Amen. And look at that and say, you know what? We need God help me with this. I've tried. Maybe it's something you can say, I've tried before. Well, get desperate.
Right.
And say, you know what, Lord, I've tried this. I can't do it myself. You're going to have to take this away from me. Because when God kills that thing out in you, it's dead.
Right.
You don't have to pretend. Right. You know it's dead. You know it's dead. It's like, comes to mind when I say that. Brother Medcalf, when he said Brother Brandon prayed for him, he said, all I know, the only thing I can say, he said, something stopped.
That's right.
There was that life of that demon was put out, and only what he could sense, and he said, I just know something stopped. And we know that. We know when something bad in our life, when God puts it to rest and buries it, when it stops. We know. There's no sense in trying to convince ourselves and say, well, you know, but everything's okay, I'm all right. No, if something down in there is telling you, then the thing to do is to take it to God in desperation and say, Lord, here am I. I'm a stupid servant. You help me here, because if you don't, I'll perish. Live or die, sink or swim, whatever. God, you got to touch me. And so we find out from that, when all this, saints, is that it still does matter where we go.
That's right.
And what we do.
That's right.
And what we spend our time doing and what we think on.
Amen.
It does still matter. And we don't, you know, it's like Brother Bram said, the Word of God is to be believed, not debated. We had all these people want to debate the message and all that. It's not to be debated.
No.
It's to be believed. And the last time I checked, and that when a sinner's not stupid, they know when they encounter the genuine thing or not.
That's right.
And that's really what we need to do. We need to say, you know what, God, I believe we are genuine, but polish us up, Lord.
Amen.
We got tarnished. Polish us up so that our life is sweet. That others do get salty, and so to speak, as we know Brother Bram said, you just be salty, they'll get thirsty. Because listen, that world out there is dying. And they come, each one by one, they come to their day when they realize they need something. And let us be that something ready. Let them have already encountered that and know that we are that. But saints, before we can do that, we have to have it in ourselves. We have to be able to have that to them. We've got to be certain of God and what God is in our life. So it still does matter who your friends are. It does matter where you go, what you spend your time doing, and what your speech is. And so, to me, I just would say, let's just check up and say, okay, how much of the world, what am I interacting with in any place where the Holy Spirit has said, don't do that. Don't interact that closely. Back away from that, repent of that, and ask God to help you not to go that route again. Because our eyes are made to look at the things of God. Our voices are to be made to speak things that are good for the kingdom of God. And our ears to hear things that are right.
That's right.
And our actions are to do things. It's all for the kingdom of heaven and for His glory and for His sake, for what He's done for His people to help His kingdom prosper. That's what it's all about. It's not about something else. It's about life. Life more abundantly, and to get that out to your brothers and sisters and get that out to the world and to help and strengthen one another in those things. And so that's what our life is for. That's what our ears and our eyes are to be used for. It's for the kingdom of heaven. Sons and daughters of God, there's that, you know, what are we talking about? What do we spend our time saying and doing? What do we spend our time looking at?
Right.
What do we spend our time where we go? We need to look at those things and say, Lord, you comb me over back and forth. Treat me as though I'm a head that needs to be checked for lice. I'll say it that way because you had to comb, and I mean every hair you had to get in there to find those critters. That's what we want God to do, is search our lives, Lord. Find anything in me that's not exactly what it should be. Because I am amazed at Satan's ability to cause people to walk in something, to walk in the wrong attitude, to walk in unforgiveness, to walk in that and say, you know, I'm okay. But saints, I've come far enough to know that when it comes time to go through that doorway, that problem will stop you dead in your tracks right there.
Amen.
And what I want to say this morning is that if we are walking a circle and we're trying to tell ourselves, well, you know, I know I've got anger toward this person or bitterness or unforgiveness or I know this, I know that. But, you know, it's really, they caused it and so it's okay, you know, and it's really I'm not that bad. Saints, when it comes time to go through that doorway, that's the thing that's not going to fit through the doorway.
Right.
Right? It's not the person that you're mad about
right.
or whatever. It's what's in you. It's what's in you that makes a difference. And if what's in you is right, then what's out there in the world, you'll see it right, and you'll be light to that world like it needs to be. So what we spend our time doing and all those things. These things are habitat, what I'm saying. Going and putting ourselves in these environments, allowing ourselves to go into a thought process that we know is going to provoke something. Brothers could probably vouch for this. I think just about every person I've ever talked to, hundreds probably, you know, maybe not literally hundreds, but I couldn't tell you that, you know, a brother, Satan will hit him with a thought in his mind. And he needs to dismiss that thought, because if he doesn't dismiss that thought, it'll lead to something.
That's right.
We can all say that. And you sisters probably could say the same thing. But what am I saying? To recognize the nature of this battle, this warfare, and say, you know what? I've seen this before, and I'm not going to the place where that habitat is. I'm going to go to a different habitat, because when I step over here where the things of God can grow, I know that's what's going to grow in my life. But if I don't do that, I go to the others, then those other things are going to grow. There is a habitat, saints, that the Holy Spirit can grow in, where the things of God can be so easy to take the place. There are. I want to end by reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. I want you to listen to what Paul is saying here in these things. And think about this. We need to have control of our lives, not to be drifting. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1. Paul says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so that ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now remember what sanctification is. That is when God takes away the desires of the world out of your heart. And Paul says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Saints, we still are supposed to be walking in a sanctified life.
That's right.
We are still to be walking in a position where we don't have a desire for the things that aren't of God. In whatever level you're at. So he said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Now you've got to realize, this, he's speaking to them. And I'm not saying that, you know, somebody here is fornicating or whatever. Whatever level you are, but you see what he's getting at here. We should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We should be able to possess not just our physical body, but our spiritual body in sanctification and in honor.
Right.
Not spiritually commit fornication with some evil spirit or something, and not physically. But to walk with honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence. That's a hard word to say. Concubine. That's speaking of a sexual thing there. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Not some matters, but in any matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of such. As we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness.
Amen.
He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren. He says, you do it to all the brethren in Macedonia. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but... Now let me translate that to us. You indeed have brotherly kindness to all of your brothers and sisters in Macedonia. But, see, that's not good enough.
Right.
But, we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. In other words, what you are, it's got to be more than that. Let's increase more than that. Increase more and more. Why? Because if all this is all we do, we're not going to touch any lives out there.
That's right.
So he says that you increase more and more. And that you study, to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, those outside of the body.
That's right.
That those that are without, and that ye have lack of nothing. That last phrase there. How many would like to be so abundantly blessed in God that you're not lacking in anything in the things of God? But you see, he says right here that all tied together in all this is that we rise up more and more and greater. And let me remind you that that brotherly love, that brotherly kindness that it speaks of right there, is laying right there at the top of that pyramid, waiting for that love and capstone to come right on top of it.
That's right. Amen.
That's the point that we've come to. We have come to the place where we have to have such a love of God, not just for the brothers and the sisters, but that our whole experience reaches a place in God that we actually touch lives without, that even those outside should say, you know what? There's a man and woman of God right there.
Amen.
That's what we want. And let God take care of the rest. And so that's what the Lord has placed on my heart for you this morning. And I believe that it tells us that there is a place where we can tighten up our belt. I know I need that in my life. And I'll tell you, saints, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
Because that's exactly what I want to do. It's tighten up the belt. And I know that I have to do it for you to do it. And you want to do it for your family to do it. But we're just all together going to go and a renewed sense of strength in the things of God, because God's never failed, and if we do those things that He says do, He will fight our battles for us.
That's the truth.
And so we are in a spiritual battle, and my main point this morning is to say, analyze the habitat that you create around your life, in your home and in your spiritual walk. And if you're not satisfied with your walk with God, if you're not satisfied with your home and the environment in your home, do something different. Change the habitat.
Thank you. Amen.
Let's bow.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, and even the inspiration this morning to show me things, Lord, I haven't seen before. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for your blessings upon this people. God, I know that you love them. I know that you love them because of the way you deal with me and the things I see you doing in the midst of your people. And so, Lord, we just want to surrender ourselves, not just as a group, but even as individuals, Lord. We want, God, to be in your hands, Lord, and that you might put us together to be exactly how that you would desire us, Lord, because we know that anything that you do, Lord, it's perfect, and it touches lives and gets accomplished, Lord. Your word doesn't go out void. We know that you're working in the midst of your people this morning. Ask God that if there's anyone here, Lord, that knows that they are walking in that death walk, they know that their life has plateaued, I ask God that you meet them right now in their prayer of repentance and their prayer of reaching out to you, God. Lord, that you come to them. Manifest yourself to them. Let your Holy Spirit just minister to their needs and give them a renewed sense of your presence there to help them in their battle, Lord. I know you'll do it because I've seen you do it so many times, Lord.
Yes.
We commit this day and these people in your hands and ask God for your blessings upon them and upon their week. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Do you know we have the power of the name of Jesus? I don't think it's in the book, but if you have the words that we can sing, I wish you could just go ahead and let's all stand. They sung that song yesterday, and I really enjoy it. We have the power. Actually, Brother Brandon said we have the authority, but in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Right? There's no other name. No other name in heaven or in earth or anywhere else given among men whereby we could be saved. So let's sing that.
We've got the power. We've got the power.
have that power.
Amen.
Amen. You have to speak it though, right?
That's right.
You have to speak it and let it loose. Amen. So, God bless you. This is Fellowship Sunday, and I think Brother Daniel mentioned it, but we're going to try and go to the park. There may not be a spot open for us and a pavilion, but if there is, we'll go there. And if it don't work, then we'll just go to the house. And we planned it that way because we know that they may not have a place for us, but we're going to do that so the kids have time to play and the playground and stuff like that. But anyway, so we'll do it that way. You have a blessed week, saints. And remember, God is with you.
Amen. Amen.
Take the name of Jesus with you. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Let's say, take the name of Jesus with you as you go.